I was thinking about choices. Our choices are like a window into the soul. They tell the priorities that we have, and they label for us what is most important to us. And so this morning, I pray that God will translate the word this morning into our hearts, and each one of us may have different needs or be at a different place in our life. I ask the Lord, translate your word to where we're at in our lives today, that we can all get closer to the Lord and grow in the Lord. I want to keep in mind, choices are like a window into the soul. They tell the priorities we have. Jeremiah said in 17 and 9 and 10, he said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart." Jeremiah said here, who can know it? Who can know the heart? But the Lord said, "I search it. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." You know, I believe and I have found that many people do not really judge their heart, but they rely on some inner feelings that they want to live for God. You know, we can't judge ourselves by a feeling or a desire that we have, but I will tell you what will tell us a little about the inside, and that's the choices that we make. Amen. And so this morning, we want to examine the choices we make. We want to look at things in the light that God looks at them. He said he would judge. He said, "So I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins." You know, it's not safe for us to judge our own self. Proverbs tells us that most men, this is in 20 and 6, most men will proclaim their own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. There's a lot of difference between proclaiming our own goodness or even feeling our own goodness and being a faithful man. Titus, Paul was writing here, and he said, "They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and to every good work reprobate." You know, this morning, it's not some feeling we have inside. It's not some desire that we have that's not furthered and followed. It's not that we profess to be something. But folks, we want to have on the inside what God values. And so we want to not only profess to know God, but we want to know God. We want our choices to reflect that. It's a window into who we really are. It's a window that we ourselves can use to see ourselves, because many times if we are to judge ourselves, we judge ourselves on how we feel about something, but not about what we really do. I was thinking about Brother Lorn Busby. He just passed this last week. We loved him so much. But even when he wasn't saved, he made some decisions and choices that affected his life greatly. One of those was that he decided, even when he wasn't saved, he decided, "We will never live as a family in a place that doesn't have a congregation of the Church of God." You know, that was a decision that he made that really affected. It affected his family. It affected his soul. Because had he accepted perhaps what the devil wanted to offer him, where would he be today? Where would he be in eternity today? But we find he made it clear what his priority was. And it set him up. It set him up in a place to know the Lord. And it kind of paved the way for the Lord to be able to talk to him. You know, he was at a place one time where he wanted to be an air traffic controller. Some of his friends had become air traffic controllers. Air traffic controllers made good money, and they still do. It's a good job. And there was a lot of benefits to that. He had taken the training, he had done well, and he had heard back from some that knew the one who was going to hire, and he told him that he planned to hire Lauren Busby. But you know that they asked him a few questions more before they could hire him. And one of those was, have you ever taken medicine for your allergies? Evidently, they didn't want anything conflicting with their ability to watch the planes and all of that. I don't know all the whys of that. But he had taken something one time, or maybe two, in his life. And he was not even professing, but he wanted to keep his soul clear. And he answered, yes, I have. He was admonished, as I understand it, to go back and tell them it was only once or maybe twice, but he wouldn't do that. Because he felt like, and he felt like God may have not wanted him to have that job. And he accepted that from God. Do you know that those little choices said something to God? I have to believe that when the Lord saw him years later, and he saw his need, I have to believe it meant something to the Lord. This man has made choices that someday he somehow feels like he wants to serve me. You know, I believe those choices mean something to God. Those hopes and those dreams meant something to his wife. She wanted that real bad. And Sister Maxine told me how bad she wanted him to have that job. But Brother Lauren wouldn't budge. He wouldn't even go back and tell him it was only once or twice, because he accepted that as maybe something from God. Maybe he knew in his heart that there it would have him moving to somewhere there was no congregation. I don't know. He chose to fear God. She said even in that, even before he was saved, he would tell the truth all the time, completely. She said she could always count on it being just like he said. You know what that came from? A fear of God. And so this morning, I just want to challenge all of us today that we make it a habit, that we make it a priority in our life to choose the Lord first and choose Him, because those things affect the future of our life. You know, this was the beginnings of a spiritual man's life. It was the beginnings of a life well lived. It was the beginnings of a life that did much good for the cause of God. And so this morning, all these decisions, sometimes seeming so little, I believe they're like spokes in a wheel. God sees our choices, and He knows who fears Him. Those little spokes in that wheel mount up to mean something. They support the rest of our existence, our life, our dealings with the Lord. I was thinking about Brother Bob Salee, another wonderful friend of mine. And one time he told me how he loved a fish. I didn't know Bob loved a fish, because all I ever knew of him was his love for the work of the Lord and his desire to give himself wholly and fully to the things of God. I'd never seen Bob fish that I can think of. But he said the Lord dealt with him because he was going all the time. And Bob, I'm certain, gave that up. He realized it was taking too much of his time. Nothing wrong with fishing, but there's something wrong when it begins to be bigger than what God has for us. He told me how the Lord began to deal with him about quitting his job and moving to Guthrie to be a part of the printing work. He told me he had a good job. He had savings in the bank, but he chose. He made the choice. He was in the habit of making choices like this. He made the choice to give his life to the gospel work and be poor. I think rich. I don't think he was poor. He was a man rich in faith. Yes, we were having services in the old chapel on the west side of Guthrie, and I don't know how many times it flooded. It was a big job to clean it all up. It was an unclean place sometimes, it seemed, because of the floods and what would back up in them and all those things. But you know, he believed that we could relocate and God would provide a vast amount of money. It seemed huge to all of us, practically. How could we ever build a building and all the money and time that would take? But he believed it. He believed God. He was in the habit of believing God. He was in the habit of living by faith. And so this spiritual man that was in contact with the Lord knew that God would take care of it. And we moved. And do you know that we reap those benefits today and enjoy the place that we have much because of his sacrifice and the things that he believed in. I remember when there was a lot of opposition, but Bob continued on. We need to move. We need to move. The Lord will supply the needs for it. He said when he moved, they began to use up their savings until it was all gone. And he said, then began a life of faith. And do you know, he told me how the Lord had supplied for him all along the way. And after that, after it was all gone, they didn't need it anymore. God began to supply everything from that point on. Those kind of men challenge me. Spiritual men, spiritual people that had God's mind first over theirs. Spiritual people that love the Lord first and foremost. And so this morning, I want to challenge us today. I want to look again at another little story in Luke 19. We find here the story of a little man. His name was Zacchaeus. 19:2, it says, "And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature." Zacchaeus had something to overcome. He wasn't able to get to the Lord for some reason, because he was little and there was a great press of people. But I'll tell you what he did. He wanted it bad enough. It was a priority to him. And he ran before. He went ahead of everybody, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now, many times I've thought of this. This little rich man went ahead and climbed up in a tree. I would think that would be, when his friends came by, he might feel a little odd or awkward. But his priority was, I want to see Jesus. And so Jesus was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Do you know that when we choose Jesus, Jesus sees us? Do you know that when we make these kind of choices and when we make priorities to put God first, and to see him in our life, and to see his will done in our life. Folks, that doesn't happen accidentally. Zacchaeus could easily have just went home and said, "I couldn't get to him," and never entertained the thought of, "I'm going to see him one way or another. I'm going to climb a tree if I have to. I'm going to be embarrassed if I have to be." He could have went home that day and never received the blessing. But when he made that kind of effort, and it was a priority to him, I will tell you, Jesus saw him. Yes. And listen to this, "And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." When I read stories like this, I will tell you, folks, that warms my heart. Here was a man that wanted to see the Lord. Here was a man that I believe must have had something down in there that God saw because Jesus came passing by. I want to tell you, Jesus comes passing by your way and mine too. But this man stood up and he said, I'll give half of my goods to the poor, Lord, and I'll make right anything I've done wrong. In fact, I'll pay him back fourfold. Folks, those are choices that Zacchaeus made. No wonder the Lord looked on him like he did. This morning, I just want to challenge all of us today. Oh, how the Lord wants to be in our lives and how he wants to fill those places and how he wants us to see him and how he wants to talk to us, how he wants to come home and sup with us. And he said if any man would open the door, that he would come in and that he would sup with us and we with him. That's what the Lord said. I fear too many times we make choices that tell the Lord something. We make choices to be too busy. We make choices that make our business abound, but we can't get to the Lord. We make choices that put little things, the pleasures of life. Do you know the pleasures of the life of life are wonderful? God made it so. Isn't it nice to be able to enjoy some good things from God? Sure it is. But I will tell you, when those things become bigger than the will of God, God sees that. He sees our choices today. And how he deals with us has a lot to do with those priorities that we make in our life. Spiritual people that make it all the way through, that make it all the way to the end of their journey, they have priorities in their life. It's a window down into their soul, and the Lord's looking at that. And whether we realize it or not, it makes it very evident, even to other people normally. I want to read another place this morning where Jesus spoke to some people in Matthew, the 7th chapter, starting at verse 21. We find here Jesus gave a very stern rebuke here. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Folks, we can say all we want, or we can think all we want, or even desire all we want. But he said, not everyone that says it is going to enter, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. Folks, that's the way it's going to be in our life. If we think that we're not going to ever have to endure something, and we can ensure our way through everything, folks, there's going to be a day when the greatest storms are going to come. And he said here, the one that hears the sayings of mine and doeth them. The rain descended, and it beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. Now those are people that they hear the sayings. Maybe they come to church. Maybe they read their Bible. Maybe they're convicted. But for some reason, whatever reason it is, they just don't do it. He said, they shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, The people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. You know, Jesus wasn't just speaking to be speaking well. He wasn't speaking as the scribes spoke or as one learned. He was speaking as one with authority. He was telling us some things that we needed to hear. He was telling us some things that we need to be careful of the priorities that we choose and of following the Lord fully and wholly in our life.
Yes, amen.
You know, our priorities is how we build. The choices that we make is how we build. Do you know that it matters what we choose? It matters the things that that we have in our life and that we allow in our life. It matters the priorities that we make. I want to encourage us today, make it a priority to bring our flesh and our desires under God's control. Sometimes we just decide to, whatever we do, it's easy for us to just do it to the full. But, you know, there's nothing in our life that works well without a governor. Let's govern them under God's control. Bring our flesh into control. The things that we enjoy, make them an addition and a blessing to the things of God and not in place of it. Bring our desires, the things that we like. We like nice things, don't we? Everybody likes to have decent stuff. Most people do. Do you know this morning that can be our priority? Or God can be our priority, and that can just be a side blessing, perhaps. It changes the way we deal with those kind of things, and it changes who we are. Regular, consistent worship. Folks, we have to make it a priority to know the Lord. I believe the reason that Jesus stopped and spoke to Zacchaeus was because he saw what was in Zacchaeus' heart. You know, this morning, we have a heart too. And the Lord, He has a window right down into our soul. He sees exactly what we really desire more than anything else. And do you know that when we desire Him more than anything else, whatever it be, He'll appear to us too, and He'll sup with us too. Regular, consistent worship all through our life. I was thinking of what Sister Maxine told me about Brother Lorne's life. She said always, after he got saved, he had regular, consistent devotions. Very consistent. To have a thirst for the Word of God. Do you know that that's important today in our heart and our life? To thirst for the Word of God? We can let that be crowded out. Jesus gave us a clear illustration of things that grow. And some were crowded out by, thistles or thorns and all of those things. They crowded out the Word of God. We can let that happen in our life. Or our decision can be firm. There shall be nothing in our life that comes before the Lord. There shall be nothing in my life that will continue to endure if it crowds out the Word of God. You know, the Lord would have us to be that way. I believe if we put Him first, our priorities will come right up behind that, and we will find ourselves choosing through many choices. The Lord will see the condition of our heart, and we too can see through many choices that we make. You know, directing our money is a part of those things. If our money only buys the nice things of life and we don't do with it fully what the Lord wants, it's a grave mistake for us. Spiritual people, they use their means for God's interest. They use their means. It doesn't mean that they don't take care of their families and their things and that they don't put anything up for the future. But I will tell you, they put God first. And then he said, I'll take care of all the rest of that. You know, we direct our time. We have 24 hours a day. Each one of us does. Do you know this morning that we direct that? No one else directs that. We direct that. We allow what consumes our time. And so, it's our job to be sure that our time is the Lord's. To be sure that that we don't consistently say, I don't have time. Whether it's services, whether it's doing something God wants us to do for the poor or for the work of God, it is easy for us to take our time and do those things that we enjoy. It's also a grave mistake when we do that at the expense of the Lord's will. So I want to encourage us today to choose our time well, to choose our job and our devotion to it. I've been self-employed for many years. I will tell you, it is very easy, and the call is constantly there for that to become the consuming force of our life, that becomes overall and what drives us and what we think about and what we choose all the time. And jobs are sometimes very overwhelming. They do cause us to have to be really pulled in different directions sometimes. But if our choice is God first, folks, we'll bring it around. And the Lord will meet us there, and He'll help us to be able to make those things right, where we can still live a spiritual life, where we can still give to the cause our time, our devotion, the honor that God deserves from our life. To choose to be honest and upright. You know, there's a lot of times that we can choose, and our priority can be, I'm making money here. This is what I'm doing. I am making a choice. I have to make money. Folks, we have to be honest in the smallest things. We have to be right with people. We have to consider them as we consider ourselves. That's what spiritual people do. I want to encourage us today again. Be honest with people. Be upright. Be forthright. When we buy things, let's remember there's a buyer on the other end. And if we're doing as the wise man said, following, or there's a seller on the other end. If we say one thing to him and another to others, folks, we might need to consider that's a little window into the inside. When our priority is on doing God's will, folks, it continually moves us closer to God. When our priority is doing God's will, and the opposite is true as well, when our priorities are misplaced, it will drain us spiritually, and we may not realize it. And so this morning, let's be spiritual people. God has such a good way for His people this morning. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That's Psalms 119 and 165. Do you know that many people stumble over things? Another translation for that says, nothing shall make them stumble. Do you know that we will stumble if we are not careful? But great peace have they which love thy law. When we cling to the Lord above all else, we choose to forgive people. We choose that. That's a window into our soul, because the flesh would perhaps hang on to that. Maybe it would turn into hatred. Maybe we would go after them and get our rightful things back, and even more so. But we make choices today, and it's a window into our soul. You know, we can choose to forget and to get up again. We can choose the hard knocks of life. We can choose to forget them as far as keeping us from going on. We can choose to move on. Another scripture about the Lord looking into our soul, Proverbs 20 and 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit, our spirit that we allow ourselves to have because no one else allows it. No one else can make it happen. We have to. Our spirit is the candle of the Lord. And if I understand that verse rightly, which there's different things in the commentators, but I see that as the Lord. There's a light. And that spirit that we have lets the Lord see all down into who we are. Our spirit, our choices, make it easy for the Lord to see what's in the heart. In Matthew 15 and 7 and 8, Jesus told some of the folks there, he said, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah say, prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Do you know we can live in such a way that we honor the Lord with our mouth, and that we, with our lips, draw nigh unto Him, and we look right, and all of that, but the Lord's looking down into our heart. We can live by some real strict standards. That's what the Pharisees did. But their heart was far from God. So this morning, let's be encouraged to have our priorities and our choices right. You know, Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and 10. He said, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia." Our loves in our life, folks, the things we give ourselves to, take us where we go. This man, Demas, I know nothing more of him, hardly. But we see that Paul said he's forsaken me. Now, what he meant by that, who really knows? But it sounds like Demas loved the present world. He loved the things of this life. Folks, when we love the things of this life, I want to tell you, instead of Jesus meeting us there, those things will meet us. And they'll draw us out. And they'll buy more things. And they'll send us more places. And that thirst for honor, that thirst for power, that thirst for money will lead us a lot of places. That thirst for lust, that thirst for the things of this life, if we nurture that, and that's where our priorities are, folks, we'll be like Demas, and one day we'll find that we've departed. We departed from the Lord, from His ways, and maybe we haven't departed from our profession, but we'll find ourselves departing. The Lord help us today that we have our priorities right, as we've said many times this morning. I want to think about one more man here. Do you remember Daniel? We love the book of Daniel, don't we? We love the stories that come from it, the things that happened in Babylon, and how that the Jews were taken down there. But there was faithful men, oh, men that loved God. And we find three of those Hebrew children standing up at that time, and they stood the fire, and God worked so wonderfully in their life. We find Daniel. You know, Daniel, we have a place or two where he set himself apart to search for the things of God. This is in Daniel 9 and 2 to 4. I've read this before. It says, "In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." Now, folks, I want us to remember Zacchaeus. He set himself to see the Lord. Daniel set himself here, he said, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes and prayer and supplications. And I want to tell you something, he wasn't disappointed. God came to him and paid him a visit. And it's a beautiful story that you read there. One of my favorite stories in the Bible. I've read it many times, how Daniel was out there looking for the Lord, and the Lord came by, paid him a visit. "And I prayed unto the Lord my God," verse 4, "and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. And if you drop on down to verse 20, it's all rich through there, but it says, "And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God." See, Daniel's whole heart was for the Lord God, for his cause, for the, he said, "the holy mountain of my God." And it says, "Yea," verse 21, "whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding." I would love to know the whole story of Daniel here. I would love to know, what was he in the midst of at this time? Was he at this time, and I haven't, I did look some at times, but was he still the first president there? Was he full of responsibilities in his life? I wonder what he was doing out here. Was he retired? I seriously doubt it. Daniel took time to search for God, and we find God searching for Daniel and meeting with him. And even one place or two, he tells Daniel, more than once actually, he says, "Daniel, thou art a man greatly beloved." You know, that's the way it is with the Lord. When we make choices to choose the Lord, he chooses us. He wants us to be his. He wants to draw close to us. There are many things that the Lord wants to tell us. And he wanted to tell Daniel some things. He told Daniel some of his heart. He told Daniel when he was going to send the Christ. He told Daniel the meaning of King's dreams. I don't think that was all by accident. I believe here was a man that made it his priority to serve the Lord. Now, was he in a special nice situation? I don't think so. Not. He was in Babylon. He was a prisoner. But in the midst of it all, he lived for the Lord. He made God his choice. And so, people who are in touch with the Lord, we're talking about spiritual people. The scripture says, "He that is spiritual." Folks, that's a decision that comes on purpose. It's something where we choose the Lord first and his priorities first. And I will tell you, it is the Lord that gives spiritual discernment. It's not in man that walketh to direct his own paths. It's not in us to make spiritual decisions. I fear to make spiritual decisions unless I know something of his mind about those things. Folks, we can know the mind of the Lord. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? But you know what? He has showed his people. And so, in the midst of our life, let's be one of those spiritual people that knows the Lord. I will tell you, the Lord looks in every generation for some that will truly serve him and be spiritual. So this morning, let's be opposite of where he said, "I looked for a man to stand in the gap. I looked for someone." He was looking for someone, and he said he found none. And so destruction, great destruction came. Let's don't let it be so in our generation. Let's be a few of those people that know the Lord. Oh, we love the Lord today, and we ask the Lord to bless every heart here this morning. Amen.